Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And welcome in to Willie and D. Mace here on 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you once again for another good summer show. We are fired up to give you another great 3 hours of sports talk. Got some fun topics we're going to hit today. And we are scheduled to talk to Jonathan Hutton at noon. Looking forward to that, as we always do on Wednesdays. And we've got some good summer topics that we're going to sink our teeth into today. In the first hour, we're going to look into where the Titans sort of shake out in their skill positions. And there's a really good piece by Bill Barnwell on the ESPN site that basically says, if you were to take average quarterback play and average offensive line play, which of course is an interesting topic in and of itself, but if you did that for every team, if you had every team with an average quarterback and average offensive line, how would you rank the skill position players, the wide receivers, the running backs, and the tight ends? We'll tell you where Bill Barnwell ranks the Titans and where he had the Titans ranked the last 2 years, which is interesting curve based on the direction that the team is going right now. So that's going to be our topic in the first hour. We'll talk to Hutton in the second hour. We're also going to get into a couple other things. What should an NFL referee make? And what changes can be made, adjustments can be made, to try to make NFL officiating better? Officiating in general, it's a thankless job. It's a tough job. But we're talking about a league that makes billions and billions of dollars. So is there a better system to pay NFL officials? How should they be compensated? We're going to play a clip from Dean Blandino, who is, of course, a guy you see every Sunday when you're watching NFL games, right, and what he does. So we're going to get into that a little bit later. We'll hit a couple of Preds topics as well. We had a great discussion yesterday with Alex Carrier. So, D-Mace, what's going on? Another summer day? It's not that hot out today.
No.
I'm declaring that.
It's not that hot. As a matter of fact, a buddy of mine, a college teammate of mine, is in town. He and his family. And my mic is – okay, there we go. He and his family are in town. So he's a big hiker. He loves to hike. He's from the Georgia area. So he and his family came down for a softball tournament for their daughter. So, you know, he hit me up. We went out to lunch the other day. And so we decided to go on a hike this morning because, again, he's a big avid hiker. And I enjoy hiking, too. So we decided 6:30 this morning, we'd go. He came by the house, scooped me up, went out to Warner. And we walked 5.3, 5.5 miles, somewhere around there. It might have been 5.8, whatever the loop is around Warner Park. And great, great hike. Had a lot to talk about, a lot to catch up on. But, man, Willie, when I got home, and I got back to the house around 8:30 this morning, 8:30, 8:45, I wanted to go home, and I wanted to lay back down and go to sleep, man. I wanted to take a nap after that. And it may have something to do with me, you know, having to get up, you know, getting up at 6 o'clock this morning. No, it was 5:45 I got up this morning. 5:45, hopped in the shower. But I stayed up late last night just, you know when things happen in your life and you finally get an opportunity to sort of sit down in your thoughts and think about it?
Yeah.
That's not the wisest thing to do at like 10 o'clock at night, because then now – you can't sleep because I'm thinking about
the trip.
You know, exactly. I'm thinking about what's going on, what has gone on. And I stayed up to about 1, just laying in the bed. Then I got up at 5:45 this morning. So I'm just a little tired.
Okay.
But I'm good. It was a good hike. Good hike. Much needed. You know, some good bonding time.
Yeah. It helped you clear your mind, though, did it not?
Excuse me?
It helped you clear your mind.
Oh, yeah. It helped me clear my mind, you know, last night. And then the hike this morning helped me sort of, I guess, come to grips with things. And then, you know, now I can sort of move on, I guess. But had a good hike this morning. So, you know, I got my workout in, so I'm not going to work out this afternoon. So it was a good hike, man. I enjoyed it.
Well, I got to get my workout in this afternoon. So thanks for reminding me that. I did not get up and get things done this morning as I wanted to. But at least it's not 95, yeah, it's 97 not today. It feels a little cooler out there today. So if you're out and about, that's a good thing. Got a sad note to start the show here. A guy that I got to know really well, and for he was playing for the Predators while you were in your prime with the Titans, uh-huh. And he played for the original Predator team, mm-hmm. and eventually became the captain. So he went through the tough times, the growing period of the team, and fortunately he was around long enough. Mm-hmm. To see the team start to win for the first time. But Greg Johnson committed suicide in 2019. But today the story came out in The Athletic that he had been diagnosed with CTE. The family announced this today. And I'm not sure how long they've had this information, because obviously to diagnose CTE, mm-hmm. as you know, you've got to study the brain after the person has passed away. So today, there's a story that came out, and his family members, his two daughters, and his wife, Kristen, just had some comments on it, mm-hmm. and it just hit me. I you know, Greg Johnson was not one of those guys. There's a lot of people with the CTE, that were fighters, mm-hmm. Guys who really not only took blows to the head as a player, but also they had the fights, mm-hmm. in hockey that may or may not have contributed to it. Nobody knows for sure. But, you know, Greg Johnson was a great leader who became the captain of the team. Did a radio show on the flagship station that I was a part of for a couple years. So it just hit me, you know, this is, again, a reminder of the evolution of studying head trauma and the importance of being aware of it. And D-Maze, he played in your era, and, mm. and that's what kind of had me thinking, is this is a guy that took some hits. He was very durable. He had 1 year that I can remember for the Predators where he missed a lot of time with a concussion. Mm. But other than that, he had several seasons with the Predators where he played 82 games. He played about 750 games in his career. But like I said, he wasn't a big hitter. Mm-hmm. He got hit probably more than he hit. Was not a big guy. But it was during an era where, like when you played, it was different than it is now, right? Where it was probably the peak of players getting bigger and stronger with weight training, size, speed, but the rules were still, you know, relaxed. A little more barbaric.
And it was,
right?
Celebrated.
Intimidation.
It was celebrated.
That's, yeah, a great way of putting it.
It was celebrated.
Yeah. And so I think about that era a lot now, because I do think both leagues, the NHL and the NFL, have taken steps to curtail some of the hitting to try to protect the heads, the, you know, the brains, the concussion issue. Do you feel that way? I think,
yeah,
you could see it, right? Just the casual fan.
Yeah, I think the NFL, by no, you know, it's not like they proactively chose to do this. It was sort of forced upon them. But I think the NFL, in regards to all other physical sports, I'm not counting basketball or baseball as,
right,
one of those sports.
And different.
Yeah, it's just a different physicality, unlike football and hockey.
Right. Way more collisions in those,
exactly,
two sports.
Exactly. Way more collisions in those sports. So, you know, when you see something like this, and you just wonder, like, what truly causes it? Because you see some people that play certain positions and they're never, at least, you know, while they're living, they never show signs of CTE. And if you don't show signs of CTE, I think their families, if they do pass on, when they do pass on, they're not looking to get their brains, you know, dissected and studied. So I would tend to believe that there are probably more situations like this in hockey than not. I just pulled up an article from 3 hours ago, and it said, according to public records, the brains of 17 of 18 NHL players studied in the U.S. and in Canada have now been diagnosed with CTE, including, then they give names of the guys.
Yeah.
So I think it's – the problem with it is that I think some guys are – even me, and I count myself in this. If I'm not showing signs of it, then I'm not thinking about it.
Right.
You know, it's like – you know, I've been asked several times, are you going to throw your name into the concussion? And I'm thinking, like, there's nothing wrong with me. That money is for guys that something wrong with them. Like, they are showing signs of having CTE or dementia or something like that. That's for them. I'm not showing, thank God I'm not showing any signs of that, you know, and I'm 50 years old. So I always tell people, that money is for those, for people that are showing it. Not to say that I don't have it, but I'm just not showing any signs of it. It's just me getting older. That's just the way I look at it. So I'm not sure. I think hockey, because football has taken the steps to make the game safer. Now, they had their foot, you know, their feet was put to the fire because of, you know.
Yes.
And then they sort of made the changes.
Both leagues.
Exactly.
Got very, very pressured lawsuits and things like
absolutely.
That to try to force them into – you know, you got to do something about this. This must be addressed.
That's why I am so adamant. And you know, I never played hockey, never even tried to play hockey. I can't even get on skates.
Yeah, so, I'm kind of in that same category.
But that's why I'm so adamant when, you know, when we're talking about CTE, like every sport, like fighting and hockey, it should be gone. I know it's one of those deals that it's still around and people do like it or they celebrate it. Everybody's cheering. But you have a couple of those fights. If you are considered a fighter and you're having 3, 4, 5 a season and you play for a long time, coupled with the hits that you're giving and taking in a physical sport, why would you celebrate that? That's my thing. Why as a league would you celebrate that? And why as a fan base would you celebrate that? These men are human, men and women that play hockey too. They are human. You just see them for an hour, 2 or 3 hours. That's what you see them. But after that, you don't know the effects that it has on them in their everyday life.
Yeah.
They should take, to me, that's only me. And I know there are a lot of hockey enthusiasts that loves fighting. They say it should stay in the sport. But I've actually seen someone go from looking like you and I, Willie, running, exercising, and I mean everything, till slowly his body just breaking down. Slow, and you're just watching it.
Yeah.
You know, O.J. Bergans, that's who I'm talking about, O.J. Bergans in Baltimore. This is the guy, when I got to Baltimore, he was running wind sprints with us. He was out practicing, you know, just enjoying being one of the coaches there. And then 2 or 3 years later, you just saw his body just go from being this, you know, strong individual to his wife has to guide him around on that. Yep. Then he succumbed to a wheelchair.
Did he have Lou Gehrig's disease, I believe? And that's another thing that people suspect, the collisions and things
exactly.
like that could lead to that. They're still studying all of these things.
But you can't study his brain until he passes away.
So that's the thing about CTE, is you can't really get a definitive answer until after the person passes away. So it makes me think, just reflecting on Greg, just because I remember everybody called him Johnny. That was his hockey nickname. You know how the hockey guys are, right? Johnny. So ironically, it was an irregular heartbeat that ended his career. The Predators sort of let him walk to free agency. He was going to sign back with the Red Wings, where he had played before he came to Nashville in the expansion draft in 1998. And you could argue he was probably their best all-around forward for the expansion era. He was going to continue his career with Detroit, but it was an irregular heartbeat that forced him to stop playing. I never knew, while he was playing with the Predators, that anything might have been going on with issues with concussions. He had one season where he missed a lot of games for a concussion, and the team suffered because of it. And it just took a long time for him to come back. So as it's happening, that's when, you know, back then you think, like you said, celebrated, right? Mm-hmm. it was more celebrated in football. Like, for example, in football, it was not uncommon to see a commercial, NFL Films presents crunching hits or something like that, right? And you would see these crazy, they would never do that today because they are trying to take it down several notches. And I think hockey has done the same thing of, for example, a guy that played with Greg Johnson for a long time was Jordan Tutu. He had these spectacular hits. He was crunching people. But the type of hits that he could get, and he was so powerful, they are taking those, they are legislating a lot of those out of the game, just like the hits over the middle. And so that's what we have to, and I think most fans, I'm glad, I think most fans have decided, I'm okay with that, right? I don't have to have that. Just like fighting is way, way less than it was when Greg Johnson was playing. Way, way more or less fights per game. Even though the Predators still have an occasional fight, and they probably fight more than a lot of teams, it's still so much less than 20 years before. What I'm glad is I feel like the fans have kind of said, you know what, I'm still watching. I still enjoy the game as much, even though that element is not the same. It's clearly not the same.
Yeah, and you can't continue for it to be the way it used to be. You have to find a way as the game is evolving, as the players are getting bigger, stronger, faster. Just think, the players now are so much stronger and faster. If they didn't change the rules in the NFL, there wouldn't be a Tom Brady playing 20 years. There wouldn't be some of these other guys at certain positions playing the years that they're playing, because their bodies would be completely beat up. Not just their bodies, their minds would be completely beat up. The NFL did a great job, I think. And again, it was because their feet was put to the fire, but they did a great job at sort of legislating a lot of that stuff out of the game. Hockey has done the same thing too. We just need to get to a place where we're worrying about these men and women more so after their career is done than when they're, because when they're playing, they got everything that they can possibly need. You know,
yeah.
They got doctors, they got everybody.
Yeah. Now that you have independent spotters, the system is better to be able to find and try, try anyway. I don't know that they always get it, but there's, I think, a legit attempt to be made by the teams and by these independent spotters of, hey, that guy looks like he needs to be checked out, right? Whereas before, it was really up to the player,
yeah,
right?
It was the player.
You want to go back in the game? Go back in the game. You think you can do it? Go.
I told you my experience when I first got knocked out. And this is not an indictment on the coaching staff or the medical staff, what I'm about to say, because I've told the story hundreds of times. So when I tell it, it's not an indictment on them. That was just the way the game was back then. We were playing Baltimore in the old Memorial Stadium. This was in 97 when Baltimore got back into the league with us. It was 97, 98, 97. And we were at the old Memorial Stadium, and Benny Thompson, I'm catching a punt, Benny Thompson clear flat knocked me out. Ball went over here. It went dark. I didn't remember anything. They got me up, took me to the sideline. I'm sitting there, and they're asking me when your birthday, the month, saying backwards, the numbers, and this and that. And I'm doing a good job at it. And then it was just like, okay, sit here for a while, but – I went back in the game. You know, I was sitting on the bench, and I think it was Joey next to me. He was like, man, you remember what just happened? I was like, did I lose the ball? He was like, yeah, you did fumble. But that was the day and age we were in.
Right.
It was like, okay, you okay? You can read. You tell me how many fingers I got. What month is it? What day is it? Who are we playing? If you answered all those questions, you're good to go.
I think we're talking about the same – era that Greg Johnson, the late Greg Johnson, was playing for the Predators around the same time. It's just how the mentality was. And I am thankful that they've made progress, right? The movie Concussion, the group that studied Greg Johnson's brain, Dr. Ann McKee, Boston University CTE Center.
Boston University.
Yeah, there you go. Shout out.
Shout out.
Concussion Legacy Foundation. You know, they do this research, right? And they have really brought awareness to all of the people that enjoy watching sports, and of course to the athletes and their families. I think athletes growing up now probably understand the risks a little bit more. And I think, you know, going in and if you want to play hockey or football, you know there's risks, just like a race car driver. You know there are risks involved. But being able to balance that with also a league doing everything you can to be as safe as you can with the rules and, like you said, surrounding people with spotters, doctors who are aware of all these things, come a long way, I think, in the last 25 years.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably the question going forward is, have they done enough? You know, is that okay? Can you make it any safer? Like, are we going to see, you know, those crazy helmets that people things that wear the cover over their
they
helmet?
They are. They have.
There's not talk about maybe doing that well, they can. Even games,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they can. Certain players, you know, all players can do it.
Yeah.
But I'm sure only certain players will do it. But they have, I do believe they have put in a rule where you can wear those.
In a game if you want, right?
In a game if you want. It brings an extra. But what I tell people is this. No, whatever they're doing, I understand they're trying to do it to, you know, to prevent some of these head injuries. I get it. But the minute your head hit that ground, I mean, what's stopping your brain from shifting?
Yeah.
There's not much stopping your brain from shifting. Anyway, yeah, I know they could probably cut down on the severity, but there's nothing stopping. It's not that, like they're putting pads inside your head.
Yes.
So your brain so much you can do. Here's quickly my second story. And it's a contrast to what happened to me in 97 and then fast forward to 99 when we're in an AFC championship game. I mean, the divisional round against Buffalo. I ended up getting concussed in that game. They took my helmet away. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't let me go back in the game. In a matter of 3 years, it went from, oh, you can get back, as long as you're fine, you gave us all the keys we needed, you're good.
Yeah.
It went from that to, okay, no, we're taking your helmet.
Yeah.
So, you know, they were trying to figure it out even back then.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure the memo was sent out back then.
So, Greg Johnson, this is the scary thing about Greg Johnson. He wasn't a guy that was coming up with a concussion every week. And you're like, man, that guy's getting crushed everywhere. He wasn't a big guy, but he's not the kind of guy you would think would have had it. That's a little bit of the scary part. And I don't know what he was. And they did make sure they said this in the article. A postmortem CTE diagnosis should not be considered as a cause of suicide. You know,
yeah,
Greg took his own life. It's very complex, multifaceted, you know, there's a lot of things to go into what would bring a person to that moment, and it's incredibly sad. But traumatic brain injury is associated with suicide independent of CTE. So these are all things that they continue to study and try to learn more about it. But again, just remembering Greg Johnson and thinking about this whole thing as we move forward, you know, What's next? How can they continue to make little strides? You know,
wasn't his family one of the first families in hockey, like his wife, to hand the player's brain over to a doctor?
That's
to
a good
be
question.
Studied?
I don't know. They obviously did in this, and that's who I think about too. I got to know Kristen a little bit. His daughters were very, very young when he was playing, and then now they're all grown up and giving statements here, just remembering their dad, and they're trying to create awareness is what they're doing, but. That's the other part of it is a player after his career is over, if you're going through some things, it has not only a toll on the player, obviously, but your family and all your friends around. You're watching, you're trying to manage all of this stuff. So that's another layer of it. Assistance programs, right, where leagues come up with, and I think they're still trying to evolve with this, is how do we set up a system where if a player needs some help, there's a place to go, right, of I'm dealing with some stuff here. That's a big element of it too.
Yeah,
they're just, you know, you're over, you're yesterday's news. We're only going to focus on the players that are playing right now because it's a big picture thing.
Yeah, and that's why I say, you know, it's not necessarily worrying about the guys while they're playing, the men and women while they're playing professional sports, because while they're playing, they're going to make sure they take good care of those men and women because they need them. It's after you stop playing. Are all the things put in place for you to go and get help? Now, the NFL has done a wonderful job at putting programs and things in place for guys, and guys just got to take advantage of it. I would say they need to make it a little bit easier for individuals, but that's a problem or that's a situation they can, you know, continue to make better. But first and foremost, they got the people in place if indeed you do need to talk to someone or discuss what's going on. And I'm sure hockey has the same thing now.
Let's take a break on that. Adam, if you want to hang, we'll come to you on the other side of this. And then we're going to sort of track into our topic from the first hour. Take a look at the skill players. Where do the Titans rank with all of the changes they made in the department of wide receiver slash running back slash tight end? Basically, your flex positions in your fantasy football team. So we'll come back with more. Just get it cranked up here on Willie and D. Mace, 102.5 The Game. Willie and D. Mace here on this Wednesday afternoon, coming at you on 102.5 The Game, 106.3. You can call or text us here on 102.5 The Game. Just go old school. What's the update? We still got no text line?
Still out there.
We got issues with this.
We're still on the island.
We're on the island.
Yeah.
But you can go old school and grab the vine and make the call. 615-737-1025. And Adam has done that. So Adam wants to weigh in on this. We're talking about just sort of where we are now on CTE. Adam, welcome to the show.
Well, you were talking about the big hits, and that's what made me want to call you, man, is that, like, it was marketed to me. It's almost taboo to say, yeah, I liked the NFL when it was violent. Like, I liked that. You know, remember scary defenses, man. Bernard Pollard, Lance Shelters, these guys you could not go over the middle against. Like, that was marketed to me. So that's what I love. And so you look back at, like, and I don't want, let me preface that by saying, I don't want anybody in the world to get themselves hurt to entertain me. Like, that's not what I want. But I wish there was a way that wouldn't compromise the integrity of the game. And I've read up on it a lot, and D-Mace, I'm 100% sure, knows 1,000 times more than this than me. But, like, when I see a dude, you know, his shoes fly off, and then the same player tears his knees up, or somebody gets a concussion and, you know, his helmet flies off. And, like, if they would properly wear their equipment, that might help. You know what I mean? Like, if, so if that was more of like a regulated thing of, like, hey, you got to take the right steps as a player as well. You know what I mean? Like, so, but I hate to say that because it's like I said, it's almost taboo to talk about, but like, I don't want the game to keep getting pushed further away from what I love. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand it's, Adam.
It's an interesting point of view. Adam, thanks for the call.
There are people that do sort of, you know, sort of believe the same that Adam believes, that, okay, it's good that y'all are making some of these changes, but are y'all going a little bit too far? You know, are y'all taking the excitement completely out of the game? And there's no, to me, I don't think you can, you know, you're trying to make the game as safe as it possibly can be. I don't think I've gotten to a point now, I don't think there's any levels to you making a game safer. Like, if you want to do this and take it out, then if it's not messing with the flow of the game, take it out. You don't need it. If you're talking about protecting your players, protecting the asset on the field, take it out.
Quarterbacks come up all the time, right?
Quarterbacks.
Some of the flags that are thrown for roughing the passer, the quarterbacks from the 70s and 80s and even the 90s are like laughing, going, was roughing the passer?
Man, I've seen quarterbacks get picked up and slammed on their necks. Yeah. And it wasn't called a penalty.
It was part of the game because there was a lot more, and I think hockey could find a lot of equivalents. And Adam gave a couple names.
Yes. So
Bernard Pollard is a great example. I think of James Harrison, right, fairly recently with the Steelers. I mentioned Jordan Tutu and some other guys where that was part of the thing was there is an intimidation. There is a physicality.
Blaine Bishop was the same
way. If you come into this area, you have to be aware that this guy is in this area, and you're going to be in a dangerous spot. Yeah, and you got to be tough if you're going to do it. That's a great element of competition, but the price that's been paid for that is what we've been talking about here, and that's why it's been dialed down. So I think there's always going to be a struggle of how much can we keep in the games.
How much is too much.
And how much what needs to be taken out, right? It is an evolving thing. And quarterbacks are a great example. They want to protect the quarterbacks. They don't want injuries and all of that stuff to happen. They want the best players to stay on the field, but also you're taking away that intimidation factor, right?
Yeah, and that's why I look at, when I look at numbers when it comes to players, I try not to pay too much attention to it because of the way the game is played now. It's so free-flowing. A lot of these big hits are taken out. You know, guys are not scared to go across the middle. Quarterbacks aren't scared to throw it across the middle anymore. So when you look at numbers, I sort of put that in this different category because I know that had they not changed the game, the numbers that we're seeing, and obviously, too, the pay that we're seeing wouldn't be where it is. I think by them taking away a lot of that stuff, which they needed to, it has caused these guys to be able to play longer.
Yes.
And to make as much money. And owners are not scared to invest money in an individual because the sport has gotten cleaned up from a safety standpoint.
Yeah, and at the same time, they have legislated certain players out of the game,
yeah,
like a Bernard Pollard, mm-hmm, at a certain point, or those guys have to change their game. It's either
Perfect.
Change or you're out. Perfect is a good one. There's a lot of hockey players that, mm-hmm, they sort of bring something to the team because they walk the line. They're always out there. Oh, boy, watch out for so-and-so. It's, mm-hmm, still in there to a degree, but there are less places where that player can make an impact there because they know that there are certain hits. Because there's always an old – Hal Gill played in the same sort of era that you did, and there are a lot of players from his era that see big, violent hits, and they say – and there's a lot of people going, we got to take these hits out of the game. But somebody like Hal will say, well, that player also has to protect himself. You have to keep your head up. There's that constant balance of what is the right line to draw on – You know, because
how physical to be.
Because now, I think you would equate it to a wide receiver that goes over the middle and, uh-huh, has no worry at all about getting hit. And he gets hit, and you're like, well, what did you expect? You're going to get hit occasionally. But
and
now,
then he's looking for a penalty.
Yeah. The old alligator arms. Uh-huh. Like, so in the past, people know, if I reach up for this ball, somebody is just going to crush
smack me right in the
now
face.
Now the quarterback, as a strategy, will say, well, they're not allowed to light my guy up anymore. I'll just lob it up there and let him go get it.
Yeah.
And if he gets twisted around, he will. But the risk is a lot lower, mm-hmm, so we're going to try to do it. Right, yeah. Right. It affects the strategy.
There are no danger zones in the NFL no more. There's no danger zones.
Not like it was.
Not like it was. I would completely say there are no danger zones within the NFL no more. Back, a generation before this one, the danger zone was the middle of the field, certain areas. Now, there's no danger zone. Because they're protected on every level, and they should be, So they've legislated a lot of stuff that went on prior to this generation's athlete. They've legislated a lot of stuff out of it, not just at the professional level, but at the college level and definitely at the high school level.
And yet there are still plenty of concussions.
Yeah, there's
you
still
mentioned
plenty
Treylon
of them,
Burks in our last break, and that is a guy that still, despite the different rules, mm-hmm, has suffered, a couple serious hits that we've watched, and we wonder what that effect that's going to have on him going forward.
Yeah, and that's why, and I think I spoke on this some months ago with Treylon Burks. I'm not worried about him from a physical standpoint. I know he can play in the NFL, and I believe he can play at a higher level that he's been playing at. My concern is if he has another concussion. That would be 3 in 2 years. That starts to build up on you. That's what I'm worried about with Treylon Burks. I think he'll do great if he stays healthy, but staying healthy is the enemy, and he's already had concussions himself. So to me, that's what I worry about with him, is him having another concussion and it being worse than the last two.
A point Adam made, too, about he kind of said, is there anything with equipment, mm-hmm, that you can do? I know everybody's trying, and I do think that there have been advancements. I'd love to have a conversation. I haven't done this about the hockey helmet. Uh-huh. I haven't seen a lot of changes in the hockey helmet, although one thing they've done is just about everybody, Ryan O'Reilly being
shield.
An exception, they wear the shield, and that helps with a lot of pucks that fly up sticks that fly up. It gives you a lot more protection. But as far as, when your head hits the boards, they've also done some things with the boards. And I do think about this with the late Greg Johnson, who started this. We had this whole discussion surrounding on the news that came out on him. But they used to have what's called seamless glass that was thicker. It was so the fans could see without the stanchions that hold the glass panels together. Mm-hmm. They took those out, but the glass was thicker, and it just didn't give as much. And I wonder about how many concussions were from a hit where a guy gets hit, but then his head hits the glass. Now I think most places the glass gives a lot more, mm-hmm. and I think that lowers the concussion. But the helmets look the same to me for the most part. I think they've made some modest gains, obviously, over the years. But I wonder if they're – now, somebody's always coming out with a new football helmet. Remember the whole thing with the crazy wide receiver for the Steelers that went to the Raiders, and he got in all kinds of trouble.
Antonio Brown.
He refused to wear one of the new helmets that had the safety measures, right? Uh-huh. He wanted to wear his old helmet, and that was just one of a long list of things where he just, you know, continued to play himself right out of the league with his conduct. Go against the grain. But my point is, if we can just, you know, somebody's always working on something that will help. But you can't, like you said, you can't make it safe for everybody. You cannot take away all concussions.
Yeah,
it's impossible.
There's only so much to do. Only so much you can do, unless you're going to put a bunch of pillows and pads on the field. So when the guys fall, they fall on something soft. But even with that, your head has to hit whatever it's falling on, and your brain is going to shift. The NFL, again, the NFL has done an excellent job, I think. They still have more they can do, but they've done an excellent job at legislating those big hits and those sort of unnecessary plays out of the league. But my thing is, yes, you did it, but you knew about this, you know, at least, 10 years prior. You knew about all this and what was going on, and you hit it, you know, so... But they're doing a good job now. So.
Not trying to make light of the situation at all, but it's like that scene out of Little Giants where they wrap the kid in memory foam and then duct tape.
If only you could do that. They tried. Then you can't move.
Yeah. So, like, you only can do so much when it comes to these, like, guardian caps that people are wearing now during games. Yeah. Along with those, I think when I was in high school, it was the brand called Zenith Helmets.
Yeah.
They were, like, the world-renowned, like, can stop concussions and now.
Nothing can stop
them. I do think it's fair. Would you say, well, this makes it 15%, 10% less likely
that you have one?
There are certain things that protect you more than others. I think I buy that for sure.
But
you can't get it to zero.
Very true.
All right. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We'll come back with our next segment. If you want to join the conversation, 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jonathan Hutton's going to join us at noon today. We'll have our discussion with him. Stay tuned. We're coming back with more of Willie and D-Mace. Willie and D-Mace brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 and up. And in Tennessee, to bet. Another good old school jam here. Nick always knows what can get us moving in the studio.
Because I'm over here tapping my feet. You
know? The Bad Mamma Jamma.
Oh, yeah.
I listened to this for hours.
Oh, yeah, man.
This is solid. This is rock solid. So... D-Base came to me with an article this morning that Bill Barnwell put out in the ESPN Plus territory here. And he ranked every NFL team, wide receivers, tight ends, and running backs. And the way he did it I thought was interesting. We're going to talk to Jonathan Hutton about this at noon. But he said if each team had the same quarterback, average Joe quarterback, and an average offensive line, and I know what you're saying. If you're a Titans fan, you're like, well, we'd love to have an average offensive line. When's the last time we had an average offensive line? Okay. They got ways to go before they can get average. But
so he basically saying if everything is equal across the board with every team.
Then take your fantasy roster of the flex guys, the wide receivers, the tight ends, and the running backs, and how would you rank each team? Now, here is a stat that really opened my eyes of the way that teams are spending their money now. I knew this was true, but he put it in a context I was like, wow. Take a guess at how many wide receivers make $20 million or more now. And that this number is going to go up, right? We're talking about the next wave, Brandon Ayuk and some guys like that, Deebo Samuel, all these issues that every team gets into every couple years. So the trend is wide receivers getting more. But so how many now are at 20-plus?
20-plus, man. I would say 15.
There are now 20.
20?
20 wide receivers make 20 or more million. Now, to put that in context, Christian McCaffrey is the highest paid running back, and he is the only running back that makes over $15 million a year. Because Derrick Henry has graduated out of this pay scale, right,
but
for a while.
He's in a different category of his own.
Yes.
Christian McCaffrey.
Christian McCaffrey, and what do the 49ers have? They have a quarterback who makes less than $1 million a year in Brock Purdy.
So they can afford to do it.
So they have, it's a luxury to have McCaffrey at this stage of his career making that much money, and they can, and that's why they're in a window. They really need to win the Super Bowl with this group. They've been close a few times, but to have what they have at quarterback and have the amount of money and amount of good players they have still able to play in there is a big thing for this coming season. So the other way they looked at this was, it's almost like a fantasy roster. So what Barnwell did, he said, okay, let's take your five best playmakers and rank the teams. So the Titans came in at 19th. So what was your first impression when you saw that ranking for the Titans? Higher or lower than you thought they might be?
Because,
I was looking at the bottom seven or eight.
I went straight to the Titans and where they were.
Yeah.
19. And then I looked at the teams that are ranked below them. And I can't argue with where the Titans are at now compared to the teams that are behind them. Because all of these teams, I think, that are behind them are dealing with their own issues at the skill position, whether it's the Patriots. I don't know if they got a wide receiver. They have one on the roster, yeah, but how good are they when you're ushering in a new quarterback? The Chargers, who sits at last, if you do this last year, 2 years ago, I'm sure they wouldn't be sitting at 32. Because they had Keelan Allen, Mike Williams, the running back, I forget the running back's name, Austin Eckler.
Right.
So
I'm glad you remembered it. You remembered it before I did.
You have those three guys, so I'm sure they're ranking last year. And then look at who you have at the quarterback. But he's saying if everything is equal with the quarterback and the offensive line. The skill guys that I just named from last season, I'm sure they were ranked higher. Lower last season, meaning they were ranked somewhere probably in the late teens, probably at 20, somewhere around there.
Another thing that is noteworthy about how to get a feel for this list, if you don't have it in front of you, if you're just driving along, they have Kansas City's group at number 14, which shows you how important Mahomes is. They rely on Mahomes, who makes all the money, to elevate otherwise pretty ordinary wide receivers. Mm-hmm. They've got Kelce, but the wide receivers and running backs are a hodgepodge of guys, right? In their top five, it's hard to tell. They try to specialize. They've got guys who catch 20, 25 passes. You're like, who is this guy that just caught the ball? They got him off the practice squad, or he's been injured, he's underachieved, but they find a way when it comes time to having to win.
They win. To catch the ball.
They win, and it's because of Kansas City. But so who do you think ranked first on the list? I was a little bit surprised to see this team.
I didn't go
to conversation we just had.
I didn't go to the first. Still haven't went to the top five or ten. Haven't gone that far. I just stayed at the Titans and went sort of.
Yeah, the Titans are at 19.
I would assume that it either has to be the Philadelphia Eagles.
They're number two.
Miami Dolphins.
They're number three.
Number one, don't say it. I'm going to get it. Number one, I thought about Cincinnati, but they've lost Tyler Boyd since.
They've slipped. They've gone from being top two or three down to 11, I think is what they have.
So the number one team if it's not Philadelphia, God, let me think. Okay, Willie, I mean, don't do it. Don't do it. Let me see. Cowboys.
They actually, the Cowboys are not as high as you think. They're actually 18th.
Oh, why did I forget? No. It's San Fran.
San Fran is number one.
Yeah, I don't know why I left San Fran out of it. San Fran is number one.
So it does kind of illustrate, if you're paying the quarterback, it's harder to rank high in this category. Mm-hmm. Because San Francisco, certainly the guys that are in these spots, Debo Samuel, George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk, Christian McCaffrey, and then those guys are all pretty well paid. Ayuk is about to get a raise, and they're going to have to maybe make a choice, a lot of people think, between Ayuk and Samuel long term going forward, especially when they have to start paying Purdy more than he's getting paid now. Juwan Jennings is another guy that they've got. So they've got a really nice group, and they drafted Ricky Pearsall in the first round. So they've been consistent. They went from third in 2022 to number one last year to number one going into this year. So that's a feel for what the top teams look like. So let's go back to the Titans at 19. Mm-hmm. Here is what Bill Barnwell said, and I do think this rings true. He said, the Titans are like your friend who hasn't played fantasy football since the pandemic and hasn't prepared for the draft. There's always that guy at your draft, not because of the pandemic, but just kind of shows up and hasn't played in a while or hasn't prepared, and you're like, yeah, remember that guy used to be really good a couple years ago? Is he still playing? Yes, he is. You want to draft him?
Go ahead.
So he basically says, look, DeAndre Hopkins is 32. Tyler Boyd turns 30. Calvin Ridley's about to turn 30. And so if you were doing this fantasy draft and you drafted all these guys a couple years ago, your draft would look pretty good. Now there's questions, right? That is the major thing. And I do think, and he also would lump Tony Pollard into this group of, have they seen their best years, or do they still have, as a group, a really productive season in front? I was worried about them ranking even lower because of this factor. But I do think that's going to be a theme, is with these young guys, with these guys around 30, which is fairly old in NFL circles, even for a wide receiver, can they still get it done?
I think we talked about this whenever they went and got, Calvin Ridley, and then subsequently after that, they go out and get Tyler Boyd. And we talked about the age.
Yeah, before they signed Boyd, we were kind of bringing this up a lot. Like, man, you want another guy?
These 30-year-old guys. But I understand, just because you're 30 doesn't mean you can't still put up numbers. D-Hop showed last season that even while he was 31, going on 32, he still was able to put up, 1,000 yards, lead the team in receptions. But it also noted in there that his play, he only played 70-something percent of the snaps. So how do you think that's going to translate to this season? And then they also talked about Tyler Boyd, which I kept trying to I'm trying to tell people. You look at Tyler, I think Tyler Boyd is a good receiver. But if you watch him, he played all 17 games last year. Half of them without Jamar Chase, more than half of them without Jamar Chase. T. Higgins got injured. He was in and out of the lineup a bit. And you still only managed 666 yards, 67 receptions. And don't tell me because the quarterback wasn't there. The quarterback that replaced him was damn good.
Did a nice job.
Exactly. And he still was able to put up numbers. And you are the lone starter. You are the only guy amongst those three guys, Boyd, you, and Higgins. You are the only guy now that is playing in a system that you know. And you couldn't get better numbers than that. The numbers are, for a third guy, but you got elevated when those guys got hurt. I would assume you got elevated up a little bit. But your numbers declined over the last three seasons. Your numbers have declined over the last four seasons. You went from 841 to 828, 762, and then 666, all while your yard per catch average went down 12, 13 to 10. That is alarming.
Yes.
It's alarming to me. And then how much slack does Ridley have to take up? Because you're not going to want to play these guys. That's why still Treylon Burks is he has to be an option for the Tennessee Titans because you got older guys and one guy in particular that the last four seasons his numbers have gone down. I'm not saying that he's a bad receiver, but he's getting older.
Yes, and so you can see the numbers declining a little bit year by year with these guys. It's hard to fathom in my mind. Well, and we'll continue this discussion with Jonathan Hutton. That Calvin Ridley is almost exactly the same age as Tyler Boyd. Yeah. And obviously Hopkins is a couple years older. So this is a big question. The names look good. The track record looks really good. These guys are pros. But can they still give you their best stuff? Because there has been a decline. Now, I think a lot of people are asking these same questions with the Predators. But Marchessault and Stamkos are coming off 40-goal seasons, right? Their play has not declined. Now, at any point, once you get older, you can start to see that decline. It could happen quick, and some people fall off a cliff. Let's hope that that doesn't happen. But that is, I think, a major question for this Titans team, and that's why they're 19th, despite the name power. So the fantasy football analogy, I think, is pretty good. The guy that comes in and drafts only the guys he's heard of and doesn't study the new up-and-coming guy.
Like, go ahead, buddy, draft
him. You want that guy in your fantasy league. You want that guy in your fantasy league. All right, when we come back, we'll talk to Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow, and we'll get more into this discussion. The Titans' skill players, what's the realistic outlook? How much can they help this team? They rank 19th in Bill Barnwell's ranking of that position group, wide receiver, running back, tight end. Stay tuned. Hour number two is coming up.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.